Hello, and thank you for downloading the Wendy Edwards Show, the guy that helped me get my podcast started. Mike Biseglia of OTB Podcast was going to be here to talk to you about how to get your own started. Mike is going to join us a little bit later in the month. Unfortunately, we had some world events that took place that have precedence. So I thank Mike for being kind enough to delay our broadcast together. And instead, I ask you to be with me for these few moments while we think about our brothers and sisters in Japan and throughout the South Pacific who have seen devastation like we can't even fathom. It was Sharon Salzberg in the book Loving Kindness, The Revolutionary Art of Happiness, who said, "Our potential to love is very real and is somehow not destroyed, no matter what we experience, all the mistakes that we might make, all the times that we are caught in reaction, all the times we have caused pain, all the times we've suffered. Throughout everything, our potential to love remains intact and pure." And when we think about those living in Japan and those who have died as a result of this devastating catastrophe of the earthquake and the resulting aftershocks and tsunamis, it leaves a heavy feeling on our hearts. And it's not just because this happened to someone somewhere. It's because this happened to people who are just like us. There's no one in the world who isn't important, who doesn't have a purpose, whose meaning doesn't exist. And so the world is at a loss right now. You have lost. I have lost. Many people in Japan have lost considerably. And there are people in Hawaii who have lost today. It's easy to fall into the mindset that this terrible tragedy was very awful and, yes, how heartbreaking, and it brings a tear to your eye. But at some point, it really hits home, and you start to understand the impact that other people who are across the world have on your life. There are losses all over the world every day. But it's these big incidents that are too much to absorb that require us to pull together and to be a family, really, and hold each other up. Sharon Salzberg goes on to say that love joins with our intention as partners in healing ourselves and the world. So I want to thank Sharon for her loving kindness in writing those words and share them with you today. And I hope throughout this podcast, you'll be thinking of the people and the homes and the pets who desperately need your warm thoughts, your kindness, and your prayers. As of this moment, it's difficult to speak with anybody living in Japan. However, it is my hope that those who have survived can feel the love coming from our hearts and the support that is coming from our countries. My music director, Liz Finkelstein, has a daughter who lives in Hawaii. Her name is Andrea, and she is a volunteer with the Red Cross. Andrea had a little bit of a scare when there were warnings of tsunamis resulting from the earthquake from Japan. And her mom showed concern, and of course we had Andrea and the rest of Hawaii in our thoughts, as well as Japan and other islands in the South Pacific. And the toughest thing about all of this is that it leaves a feeling of helplessness when those people live hundreds of thousands of miles away. So I'll talk with Andrea Finkelstein for those of us who desperately want to do something, who don't have a choice but to stay here and watch it all happen on national news. Is there a way to help their lives when we can't just up and go? We'll talk with Andrea and find out. I'd like to introduce you to Connell Rad, my friend who is an electric musician who plays guitar and otherwise puts songs together on his computer. His first full-length album, if you can call it that, is called Function Creep, and it was made available for the first time in August of 2007. The song that I'm about to play is called Target City, and it was featured on Tom Robinson's BBC Six music show. And everybody who listened to the show voted to have Connell Rad play it again. I think you're going to like this one. From Function Creep, it's Connell Rad with Target City on The Wendy Edwards Show. Thank you. You can download songs for free from Connell Rad at munchhouse.com/Connell Rad, or you can find the music on Last.fm or on MySpace. It is always free music, and coming up in a little while, we'll hear songs off of the latest online album, Sure the Risk is Made. Right now, let's talk with Andrea Finkelstein. She lives in Maui. She is a volunteer for the Red Cross, and we could all benefit by learning about the Red Cross and what they do and how we can help ourselves and our communities. Let's hear what she has to say. Hey, Andrea, this is Wendy Edwards.
Hi, Wendy.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, and it's good to hear your voice. I'm glad that everything's turned out all right for you in Hawaii.
Yeah, we are too.
Well, your mom sent the word out that things were looking dangerous because of tsunamis after the earthquake in Japan, and we were a little bit worried for you and obviously thinking about you, and so glad that you have made it out okay and that Hawaii is relatively safe. Can you tell me what's going on there?
Well, right now we're still doing some cleanup. There's a lot of the beach parks and a lot of the roads that were by the water have mud and debris in them still. And there's a few homes that are still have some damage from the storm, from the surge. So we're still working on, you know, getting everything cleaned up. But for the most part, people are returning back to their regular lives.
Which island are you on?
I live in Wailuku, which is on the island of Maui.
Okay. And are other islands as affected as Maui?
Yes. You know, most of the islands had some minor damage. I know that the east-facing shore of Molokai had a few houses that were majorly damaged. And I know that Kona, the big island, also had some damage to it. All I can vouch for is what I've seen, which is mostly here in Kahului and Wailuku on Maui.
In terms of support, would you say that Hawaii is in need or that people should really focus on Japan right now?
There's always a need for support, especially, you know, I volunteer with the Red Cross, which is a donations-based organization.
Okay.
So anytime that people want to donate, I always support donating to the Red Cross, either their local chapter or to where there's a disaster happening. I know that Japan is definitely in great need right now as well. There's a lot of damage out there. There's a lot of people who are still suffering. I don't ever want to turn away donations.
Right.
But it's definitely needed around, you know, all around the Pacific.
Is there anything specific that you think the Red Cross needs?
A lot of us donate time, which is a really important thing as well, is that 90% of the Red Cross is donated time from volunteers. So I always support people going and taking classes and becoming a volunteer. If they want to donate monetarily, that's great too. And a lot of businesses donate, you know, food and supplies. Walmart actually donated cleanup kits for us this round.
Oh,
that
nice.
We were able to bring cleanup kits to some of the houses that are all full of mud and rocks and trees and things.
So far, have the families been safe over there where you are?
You know, they have been. And it's one of the great things about volunteering with the Red Cross is that we come in right after a disaster and we can provide immediate disaster cause needs we can provide for. So a lot of times, you know, we do provide shelter and food and clothing. But for the most part, you know, people listened to the warning, which I'm really proud of that, is that people did evacuate. They left their homes for the most part and were able to be physically safe, that we haven't had any reports of injuries from the tsunami.
Nice.
And so, which is great.
Yeah.
We had a lot of warning, so that's good that we were able to evacuate in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
That everybody listened and left, and so physically people are okay. Some of it is emotional. You know, the people who are living oceanfront are having trouble sleeping or, you know, might be having that kind of reaction, which we can provide some help for that too.
Is that because they're not sure a tsunami isn't coming yet?
Yeah.
Or another tsunami isn't on its way?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. We're watching very closely what's happening in Japan, and there's continuous earthquakes out there right now that their aftershocks are rating pretty high on the Richter scale. So we're still, you know, we're watching and waiting and seeing if there's going to be another tsunami. So there's a lot of fear. People are afraid that that's going to happen again. Or you go to sleep, you have that flashback of feeling, that feeling of it's coming, whether or not it actually is.
Right. It's pretty dramatic.
It's very dramatic. And we see it a lot. You see it with families who've had house fires, who've been through tornadoes or hurricanes, that they have the same response where it is a post-traumatic stress thing, is that people feel like it might happen again. And so they start to worry about it.
No.
The best advice you can give is just to prepare, and that if it does happen again, we'll do our best to have warning and have your supplies ready so that you know where you can go.
Being in the lower 48, it's very difficult to know how to help in Hawaii or the South Pacific, how to help people in Japan with what they're going through. And I realize there's a lot of national aid that's probably coming. I know China has like dropped their problems with Japan for right now to help with aid. It's hard to know as an individual, what can we do to help? And as you know, that's part of the reason for my call. Let's take a breath and come back to talk with Andrea Finkelstein. You're listening to Wendy Edwards on the Internet.
I'm Steve Dismukes. I write and draw a weekly updating webcomic called Dark Places at darkplacescomic.com. I'm also a freelance illustrator, and Wendy's very good at spotting what other people can do and what they can be and helping them to find that themselves and to bring it out and show it to the world. Wendy's podcast is a great way for her to bring this skill of hers. I think the next voiceover star is a very good example of allowing people who wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to get their voices heard. It's a really good way to showcase people who do have remarkable talent, might not necessarily be appreciated or recognised in their day-to-day lives. One thing that people should know about Wendy is that she really does care. She's really interested in finding out about people and helping them to flourish. She's very good at finding the good in people and interested in people, which is a really big, really valuable trait. So now I've been doing my webcomic Dark Places for 2 and a bit years now, and it's going very well. She keeps on with encouragement, keeps on pushing me to step beyond my comfort zones and to fulfill my potential. Others can benefit from listening to Wendy because she's very passionate about helping people follow their dreams. She's happiest when she's helping other people to shine.
You're listening to Wendy's podcast on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and WendyEdwards.com.
We're back, and we're speaking with Andrea Finkelstein, a Red Cross volunteer who lives in Maui. She is also the daughter of our music director, Liz Finkelstein, and her husband, Ron. And we're very happy to report that Andrea is doing fine in Maui, despite the tsunamis that have wrecked the islands in the South Pacific. Andrea, I know I speak for a lot of people when I say it is so hard to sit here and watch TV and see the devastation on the other side of the world and not feel able to help. So wouldn't it be great if we could all just board ships, go to Japan, help with debris, clean things up, build houses? Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be great if we could all just do that.
Exactly. And just show love, right? Because that's what it's about. But unfortunately, we can't all do that. So.
And it's hard. It's always hard to sit and watch and not be able to help. I started fairly soon after Katrina, and I had the same feeling you did, where I was watching it on TV and I was saying, I want to help, and I don't know how to be there. I don't know how to get there. And you watch and you see the Red Cross, you see, you know, the shelters, the people in their vests, and you say, those guys are doing something. How do I do that too? And so I started when I lived on the Big Island in Hawaii, where we had shelters that opened for various reasons out there. And so for flooding and air quality from the volcano and things like that. So I got experience. And once I had some experience, Hurricane Ike and Hurricane Gustav had come through Texas, and I got deployed out there to help them.
Oh, wow.
So every step you know, every time you go out, you learn something new. Every response is different. You get a little better and you learn a little more, and you're able to bring that back to your own community and help them be ready. And so that's why I support as much as possible to donate to your local Red Cross, to, you know, go and take the classes, to inform yourself about what's going on there so that you can help if when they come up with things that they need, they will, you know, it'll be blasted out through the media to make sure that they get
all the help they need. Yeah,
exactly. You got to find what you can do with your community. It's really important, you know, that we all support our own. And then when we need more help, that there's others who are trained who are able to go and help. The best thing, the way the Red Cross works is that you get experience locally, you get experience within your own community, and then you're able to go help on a larger scale with, you know, with other communities and eventually internationally. Almost every country has its own Red Cross,
okay,
which has separate chapters within the country.
Okay.
So I'm part of the American Red Cross in the Hawaii State chapter. If there's a disaster across the United States, they start within their own community, and if it becomes bigger than what
available
their own community and their own chapter can support, then they call out nationally, and people from across the United States will come and help. The American Red Cross has many people who are involved with the International Red Cross.
Right.
A separate organization. It's like an umbrella organization almost. Very specifically skilled people tend to be a part of that. So if you have a lot of skills with like technology and communications and those kinds of very specifically skilled people will end up being international volunteers.
Okay. Andrea Finkelstein talking to me about your experience in Maui since the earthquake in Japan and the tsunami damage over there in Hawaii. And also speaking about the Red Cross with me, but I realize this is not on their behalf in any way, and I don't want to hold the Red Cross responsible for anything we're talking about. It's just for my own knowledge and to share with my listeners.
We always support talking with any sort of media, trying to get the word out of what it is we do, because I think most people forget that disasters, large disasters, kind of bring it to the forefront of everybody's mind. But, you know, often there's personal disasters that the Red Cross responds to, house fires, things of that nature.
Right. And you can...
We're there for the community, no matter how small the disaster is.
Right. And you can supply small things. Like, I remember back a couple of years ago, I was saving shampoos and toothbrushes and little, like, wash kit for families who lost everything in fire.
Absolutely.
And that we donated to the Red Cross.
It's one of the things that I enjoy being able to hand out is what we call comfort kits, which is...
Comfort kits, that's it.
Yeah, feels minimal, but if for somebody who doesn't have anything, being able to wash themselves, to be able to clean themselves, to be able to have a hot shower is huge.
And this may sound silly, but when I was shopping for the comfort kits, then when I was buying toothbrushes... I was thinking about the little kids because I was buying adult brushes and little kid brushes, and I was thinking it would be special that when they got their toothbrush, something tangible that's theirs after
Absolutely.
Losing everything. So I was trying to pick out these toothbrushes based on what a little kid would really, really like.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we get to hand out, Disney donates Mickey dolls.
Oh,
which
cool.
Are these little Mickeys, and they have, you can only get them if you're a child that's been through a disaster, and they have, you can tell because it has a little heart from the foot.
Aww.
And so it's one of my favorite things to give to children after any sort of disaster, because that's theirs and they feel like it's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the first thing they do with them is put a Band-Aid on it.
Aww.
They feel hurt. And so, and they know that when you're hurt, you put a Band-Aid on.
Yeah.
So that's what they do to their Mickey dog.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, personally, I'm just glad that the Red Cross is there to help. And I'm glad that I can do something from where I live, even if it's just going to take a disaster class so that I'm ready when something happens in Charlottesville or nearby.
I find a lot of people take the classes just to know, what is it that's available to me? If this were to happen to me, what is it I'm going to do?
And to go back just to our initial conversation,
uh-huh.
Do you think Americans can... be comfortable in the fact that the Red Cross is in Japan and working with those people in the chapters of the Red Cross from that area, and that it sounds like if those chapters need help, then more help will come locally, and then it'll kind of branch out to the next local spot? Or is that true?
Exactly.
I don't know. Okay.
Exactly.
It sounds very organized.
It's very organized. It's a very structural organization. And so... we could always use more donations, more support, but it's very much an organized system where your local chapter responds until they need more help, and then it'll call out to a wider area. Japan has had such widespread damage that they'll I'm sure be asking for help from the international community. So if people want to donate to Japan, I'm sure that the Japan Red Cross is collecting donations as well.
Okay.
You'd be able to find that out online.
Okay.
Be the best way to get through to them at this point.
Do you happen to know a website, or should I look that up?
I don't know offhand.
Okay, I can look it up. That would be
fine.
No, that's okay. I can look it up. Is there a website for donations or support for where you are?
Absolutely. You can go to HawaiiRedCross.org, and you can just choose to donate to the Hawaii Red Cross through our website.
People can make a $10 donation by texting Red Cross to 90999. Their donation will support relief efforts for the earthquake in Japan and tsunami throughout the Pacific. But at this time, the American Red Cross is not accepting volunteers for Japanese relief efforts. They encourage all those who are seeking to volunteer with the Red Cross to contact their local chapter to find opportunities in their local communities. As I said, if you'd like, you can text a $10 donation to Red Cross. If you're uncomfortable texting, you can always donate at www.redcross.org. You can mail checks to your local Red Cross office with a note that you want the money directed to Japanese aid. And of course, you can always contact your local Red Cross office in order to become a volunteer. Andrea, for your efforts in Maui and to all of the Red Cross volunteers worldwide, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing all you do. Okay, there's one half of this show that cannot be delayed, and that is the competition for the next voiceover star. One contestant has not sent in his audio for this week, and so we are at a loss without Brad Larson. We have four remaining finalists, and their audio is on the way, as well as reviews by Chester Hull from ProSound and actress and voiceover professional Lana Young. Next on The Wendy Edwards Show.
I'm Chester Hull from ProSound. We're the caller experience experts. Everybody can relate to calling a company and having a bad experience. We're like interior designers or graphic artists for your phone system, making it relevant, making it interesting, making it fun, making it something that grabs the ear. Call us, have us do a caller experience evaluation. Delight your callers, make a difference. Treat them well, they'll be customers for life. Treat them poorly, they'll be someone else's customer tomorrow.
Find out more at www.prosoundusa.com.
Chester Hull from ProSound, very generous in providing spots for the next voiceover star. And I have to thank you, Chester, because when I brought this idea to you, you were just like, I'm in.
I was all over it, Wendy. I thought it was a great idea the minute we talked about it.
I didn't know you would be. To be honest, I was sitting there going, please say yes. Please say yes.
That could have something to
really
do with it.
I'm really excited about it. I think it's a great opportunity. And people do talk to us all the time. Hey, how do I, you know, I'd like to be a voiceover talent. How do I get into that? And so I think it's great.
Well, thank you very much for providing this script and the spots for the next voiceover star. In just a couple of weeks, we'll have a winner.
That's right.
Woohoo! Are you excited to work with this person?
We're planning it already.
Oh, wow.
Chester's awesome to work with. He's a dream.
Just looking at, you know, where we can place these based on what's coming in already and make it a good fit. The voice talent needs to fit. There's the voice talent side where they need to do a good job on the delivery and be themselves and all that. And then there's also fitting the voice talent with the company and how they deliver and represent the company.
And so you're thinking of all four right now, how to fit whichever one comes through?
Right, where we would place them, how they're going to fit, you know, what companies that we can place them with, things like that.
All right, so that's very good reason for the rest of our next voiceover stars to continue through the end of this contest, no matter what.
Stick with it.
Yeah.
Gotta stick
with
it.
Chester, I'd like to ask you just really briefly, how did you start ProSound?
Well, ProSound was a blend of an interest in computer technology, IT background, as well as audio production, and the two kind of made a mashup, if you will, into on-hold messaging. It was an opportunity to provide that service in this area. Nobody was doing that here, and it's worked out well. I had several people asking me, "Hey, figure this out, make this happen, and we want to hire you." So we started the company and went from there.
You say we? Who is with you on this?
Well, I work with about five or six other people, voice talent, script writers, things like that, and make the company run.
Well, I appreciate all of your help with the next voiceover star more than I can express here on a podcast.
Well, it's been fun. We're looking forward to the rest of the contest.
Thank you. Okay, Lana, I'm going to turn to you now and talk about your
Woohoo!
Hollywood Theater Lab.
Yes.
And you are the managing director and coach.
Yes.
Something tells me the next voiceover star could end up in your studio.
It wouldn't be a bad idea.
Something tells me I might end up in
Come
your
on.
Studio.
The more the merrier. I think it's a great idea.
Tell me what you do.
Well, Hollywood Theater Lab is a school I started. I moved to Charlottesville about a year and a few months ago and started an acting school.
Mm-hmm.
And we deal with parents and children. And our tagline is teaching life skills through acting. Because I think that it's important for parents and adults to know all of the benefits that they can get from taking an acting class. It's not just about acting. It's not just for actors. You know, you don't have to be going to Hollywood or New York to come and take a class. You could be coming in for self-esteem, for confidence, just speaking skills,
mm-hmm.
or to find that inner actor that you've always wondered about.
To know if you really have what it takes.
Yes, people surprise themselves all the time.
Now, you've been an actress for how long?
Oh, gosh. I shouldn't say since what I was that age, because then you'd be able to figure out how old I am. professionally since 1993.
Okay.
So,
and by professionally, you mean
getting paid to do it. Okay. Getting paid to do it.
In what areas have you been an actress?
Theater, film, TV, and voiceovers.
And speaking of TV, you host a show here in Charlottesville.
Yes, it's called What's Going On, Seaville, and it's on Channel 13 at 6 o'clock on Monday nights, and also on Virginia Living TV twice a day for a week. So that's a lot of fun. And the mission of that show is basically to entertain, to inspire, to motivate. We just love people, so we love entertainers, foodies, you know, people of interest, scientists. Just see what's going on, what people are sharing with the community.
So if someone knows someone extraordinary, they should be in touch with you.
Yes, absolutely. They can email me at lana@valivingtv.com. L-A-N-A at valivingtv.com. Thank you for that little plug, Wendy.
You are so welcome. And I can plug Chester and ProSound, but we do that consistently through the show. So, but Chester, you know what? Not to leave you out, how about a shout out? Where's your website?
You can find us at prosoundusa.com.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the next voiceover star.
Brought to you by The Wendy Edwards Show, the following five finalists will move on to compete for the grand prize from ProSound, the caller experience experts.
Contestant 1,
J.D. Dickinson.
Contestant 2,
Brad Larson.
Contestant 3,
Steve Noland.
Contestant 4,
Justin Beck.
Contestant 5,
Jason C.
Who will be the next voiceover star?
It is on hold message week on the next voiceover star. Our contestants had 7 separate segments for on hold messaging. Chester, Lana, and I have listened to all 7 from each contestant. However, we have selected a juicy segment for you to listen to. Let's begin with J.D. Dickinson, our first contestant on the next voiceover star. On Radio Week, Sherry Taylor said J.D. Dickinson should work to keep the listeners engaged. Mark said he had a decent delivery. He could have added a little more excitement to his voice, but for his first crack at it, he did pretty well. Now here's J.D. Dickinson with his on-hold message for the next voiceover star.
On Monday and Tuesdays, you can get a great price on a super pizza. Angelo's has a large cheese pizza for just $9.99. That's 18 inches of cheesy goodness, all for less than $10. Want more? Add all the toppings you like for just $1.79 each. Mmm, you can almost smell the pizza now. Please hold on, and we'll be right back with you.
I like JD, considering that this show is all about non-professional voiceover artists, I think that he's onto something good. He's slightly in between personable and announcery.
Right.
So what I would like to hear from the for an on hold spot is to lean on the side of personable and leave the announcery out of it. Just talk to a person rather than a multitude. Tell them it like it's their like it's his friend. It's cheesy. You know, really sell it. And just think about how you would like to hear it and what would turn you on for this pizza.
Although one of my friends would have a mouthful of pizza being like, oh, God,
that's
it's burning.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that for a spot like this, but
I liked his and, you know, I brought this up earlier. Mmms and ohs and ahs are always difficult because they don't feel organic.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make it sound organic, like you really believe your And I think he did a pretty good job with that. I would take it even further, but he did a really good job with the
All right. Chester, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think Lana's got it right. You know, in the on-hold world, when you're on the phone with somebody, you're on hold, it's a one-to-one relationship, and it needs to be really authentic and personable. You need to be talking directly to one person, and so I think going more with authenticity and a personal, just a friend-to-friend connection, that type of delivery is what we're looking for in the on-hold world.
Any tips for JD? How can he practice, Chester?
Talk to the mirror. Talk to himself. Think in his head when he's in front of that microphone that he's picking one specific person that he's trying to talk to and deliver that script to.
All right.
And I take that an even a step further. I would get a person in front of him and talk to that person until that person goes, okay, I believe you. Like, you've convinced me.
Or let's buy pizza.
Or let's
now.
Go buy pizza
right.
now.
Good idea. As he grows in the voiceover field, work on the accent and being able to make it a little crisper, a little clearer, and a little bit less of an accent. Mm-hmm. That's something that he'll learn over time.
Yeah, okay, yeah. If we're talking about that, maybe more consistency with his, as I call, like, peaks and valleys. You know, there was something in there that went up for a buck or something like that, which is fine. We want those peaks and valleys, but it has to remain consistent all the way through.
With the rest of your message.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And Chester, you mentioned something about changing the accent. Clarify that a little bit for JD.
I pick up on a little bit of an accent in his voice, in the way that he rounds off some of his words or wraps up some of the words.
Okay.
And I think that's something that he can learn to just enunciate clearly and pay attention to get that accent out of there.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay.
And one thing that might be helpful for that, and this might come up again, is definitely warm up your mouth and your vocals before you do a voiceover.
Coming from a talent coach from the Hollywood Lab.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to go in there cold. You want to make sure your cheeks, your jaw, your tongue, your lips are all warmed up and your vocals are warmed up as well. Do lots of la-la-las and all of that fun stuff.
Brad Larson was to be next. However, he's dropped out of the contest.
Oh, sorry, Brad.
I know. I'm sorry, Brad, too, because I thought it would be great to have him with us for the whole thing. So we're going to move on to Steve Noland, and we'll see if he does any la-la-las before he talks. Last week, local radio jock Sherry Taylor said it came across a little too loud, a little too close to the microphone. Mark Connor said he's got a tremendous voice. He would like Steve to watch his projection and try to control his breath a little bit. Let's hear what Steve Noland sent in for On Hold Message Week.
On Monday and Tuesdays, you can get a great price on a super pizza. Angelo's has a large cheese pizza for just $9.99. That's 18 inches of cheesy goodness, all for less than $10. Want more? Add all the toppings you like for just $1.79 each. You can almost smell the pizza now. Please hold on, and we'll be right back with you.
So that was our next voiceover star, Steve Noland, contestant number 3. And Lana, I saw you smiling as you were listening. Talk about that.
Steve Noland. Steve was a little announcery, and if I can give anybody an acting tip, it would be find the sell. Find what's important. It's not just words. You're not just a mockingbird. You're not just reciting words. You are sharing information with people, and you have to connect with what you're sharing. Like cheesy pizza. Mm-hmm. You know, and I loved his effort on mm-mm, but even that sounded contrived, sort of mm-mm. Find that mm from your gut. You know what I
really
mean?
Really mean it.
Mean the mm. So what I would like to see from Steve is probably the same exercise. Sit with a friend and talk to them until they believe that you're talking to them and not just spouting out a bunch of words. He's got the desire and the enthusiasm, and now he just needs to focus it and, focus it and believe it.
Yeah, so I agree, and it needs to be much more conversational.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought about with Steve is it was almost as if each sentence was trying to be a standalone ad almost, and that's not really what it is. The whole thing needs to flow together as a conversation. So less effort on making each individual word sound good and more on the overall conversation delivery of the piece.
You said less emphasis on the individual words. Would you say that is kind of the same as what Lana was saying, where you need to pick which words to really put that feeling into?
Right, and I agree. He had a great effort on the part, and I think he's on the right track there. But don't make it so much of an announcer. Don't make it so much of I'm trying to be the voice.
Mm-hmm.
This is about delivering the conversation.
Now, it's kind of tricky for somebody to get a piece of paper with some words on it and know exactly what the person who has provided the script wants. I've got a few questions after sending out the script, but they weren't quite about tone or delivery. Would you suggest that our voiceover stars contact me when I provide a script to them so they know what we're looking for?
Yeah, that definitely helps. If you know, when a writer writes a script, they hear it being voiced in their head, and so they write it the way they want to hear it. That doesn't always translate well.
Chester, you and I have had that situation, actually. I've done some work for Chester, and I've definitely called him back and said, this doesn't roll off the tongue as well, and he's open to suggestion, and we've created a better script from that.
Exactly.
So, Always ask questions. They want the best. The people that are hiring you to do the voiceover want your best product. So
the other thing that you can do, and it's tougher on a longer format script like an on-hold script, but we have voice talents that will give us a couple different takes. If they're unsure of a way something might be want to be phrased or emphasized, they'll give us a couple, two or three different takes on it and allow us to use the inflection that we want.
I think there's something else I wanted to say about Steve, and I'm just trying to think what that was.
It was a little bit slow.
Yeah, slow.
The delivery was real slow and contrived. It needed to be, again, just more conversational. It needed to be faster.
Yeah, thank you. You just reminded me. So my best recommendation for new voiceover actors is not to repeat what you've heard on the radio or on TV or whatever. Don't try to be something you're not. What makes you a good voiceover artist is the unique quality you bring. So don't try to sound like someone else.
Which is why you were invited to take this job in the first place.
Exactly, exactly. And so I think what Steve and other voiceover artists can do is take a script and just say it in your normal voice at a normal pace, how you would say it to your everyday people, and then start to add some of the professional tones and emphasis you need for the spot.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you both. On Radio Week, Sherry Taylor said Justin Beck had very good delivery, but he has to learn to engage people for the entire spot. She and Mark both agreed that the British voice is very sexy to listen to. Mark said Justin has an advantage because of his British accent.
On Monday and Tuesdays, you can get a great price on a super pizza. Angelo's has a large cheese pizza for just $9.99. That's 18 inches of cheesy goodness, all for less than $10. Want more? Add all the toppings you like for just $1.79 each. Mmm, you can almost smell the pizza now. Please hold on and we'll be right back with you.
Okay, so Justin Beck just delivered a pizza over the phone. How was that for you, Lana?
Justin Beck, well, I think that Justin would be a fabulous industrial technical voiceover artist, and I know you've got a section for your competition in that, and it'll be interesting to see what he does with that. This is a perfect example of bringing more personality. One thing that's really important is it's not like acting. When you're acting, your audience can see your body. They can see your face. With voiceovers, it's just your voice. So when even if you think that you sound over the top, you're probably not.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to go bigger and then pull it back from there. It's easier.
Or Justin would need to go bigger.
Justin,
not everybody.
Need,
that
not,
we've
not every.
To.
Not everybody. Because
right.
I have. Yes, exactly. Thank you.
That was exactly my thought as well. He needed almost more inflection, more voice acting.
Yeah.
And, you know, almost if you just put a smile on your face.
Yes.
That can change the tonality of your voice tremendously. Just that little bit.
You bring up
so,
a good.
A little more inflection and a little more.
I think it would be personality. It's something that people need to connect to rather than just I am reading this information, you know. And what you said, Chester, about the smile is huge because it's the difference between Angelo's Pizza and Angelo's Pizza. You know, like you can hear the smile in your voice.
Because your face changes,
yeah.
Your jaw changes, or the tone of your voice changes also. That was actually a piece of advice that I received as a DJ coming in on ground level. Stevie Lynn, who was working at the radio station, she was just, to me, like magic. She mentioned that to me. She said when I was reading promo spots to just smile.
Yes.
And it would make all the difference, and it really did.
Yeah.
Justin was almost a little soft in his delivery, like he wasn't quite confident of what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be something that just comes with experience, but a little more confidence in what he's saying, that he believes the words that he's saying,
yes.
And that'll help deliver that confidence to the listener.
Yes, believing and, again, knowing what you're selling. What are the selling points here? It's cheesy. It's It's all of those things that are going to make a listener go, oh, can't wait until these people answer the phone, you know? I want my pizza now.
My mouth is salivating.
Exactly. And again, it's the emphasis, trying to find the emphasis. I always, my favorite joke is the, you know, the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
You know? That's a good way to think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you've got to find it, the hitting points. And sometimes they're not right. You think that they are. And I've got to look at myself all the time because I put emphasis sometimes on words that shouldn't be emphasized. And I've got to go through and underline.
Oh, yeah. There are many times I have to, like, redo an entire script.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be thinking, oh, I've got this. But something about the tone is off or something about the balance.
Yeah.
Of the script is off where I'm like maybe faster in the front and then slower mm-hmm, in the back mm-hmm. or.
Again, that consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on really super critical scripts like that, we will bold words for emphasis and we'll underline words, you know, which is a slightly different emphasis and try to help give some clues to the voice talent as they go through how we want it exactly to sound.
Absolutely. And you can even put like a little line above the word when you want to go up on that word
mm-hmm.
to remember to go up to give more emphasis and more sort of space around that particular word. Chester, I'm trying to think if there was a breath issue there as well. I'm not sure if I was hearing that correctly, but it's really important after a warm-up that you get enough breath to take your sentences through and that there's space between the sentences and it's not just sort of a run-on sentence.
Right, exactly. I didn't pick up on that,
I didn't
but you're absolutely right. Go into it with a full breath, be able to read the whole thing strongly, you know, without running out of breath at the end of your sentence.
All right, you had one more thing for Justin.
Yes, Justin, more energy. And I can't talk about that enough. I would even go so far as to do some jumping jacks or something to get you going before you do a voiceover. Some actors need to actually sit to do them because they have too much energy. But I would suggest you stand, you use your arms, you really emote with your body. As long as it's not change the consistency of your distance of your mouth to your mic,
mm-hmm.
use your body, whatever it takes to get that energy in there. I suggest that you do that. That will be very helpful for this.
That's excellent. I know a lot of times when I'm doing voiceover, I tend to talk with my hands, even though there's nobody around. But
yeah.
It really helps deliver what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Very important. And it's good that people can't see us half the time because you see half the stuff that I do.
All right. Are you two ready to go on to the next contestant?
I think so.
Sounds good.
All right. We've got to take a very short break and we'll be back to hear from Jason C., the final contestant on the next VoiceOver Star, next on The Wendy Edwards Show.
You're listening to Wendy's podcast on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network and WendyEdwards.com.
I'm Chester Hull from ProSound. We're the caller experience experts. Everybody can relate to calling a company and having a bad experience. We're like interior designers or graphic artists for your phone system, making it relevant, making it interesting, making it fun, making it something that grabs the ear. Call us, have us do a caller experience evaluation. Delight your callers, make a difference. Treat them well, they'll be customers for life. Treat them poorly, they'll be someone else's customer tomorrow.
Find out more at www.prosoundusa.com.
When we last heard from Jason C., Sherry Taylor was on hand to say that first he was losing her, but then toward the second part of his commercial, he found his voice and he got her to pay attention. Mark said Jason had some really good moments in that spot. Let's hear if he was able to improve on that this week.
On Mondays and Tuesdays, you can get a great price on a super pizza. Angelo's has a large cheese pizza for just $9.99. That's 18 inches of cheesy goodness, all for less than 10 bucks. Want more? Add all the toppings you like for just $1.79 each. You can almost smell the pizza now. Please hold and we'll be right back with you.
Okay, Lana is nodding her head at Jason. What's going on your side?
Jason's really close. He's got a good quality to his voice. Again, a little announcery, but I think that is the instinct for people that are just starting out to go that in that direction. So
because you're used to hearing that.
You're used to hearing it, absolutely.
Listen to other on-hold messages.
And again, I will reiterate, find your unique quality and what makes you, your personality stand out. You know, the was great. I just needed to believe the line that followed the
Okay.
As rather than just, okay, this is my tagline. You know, make it your own. And then let the director take you in a direction. Chester, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was really close. Again, back off on the announcer. You know, who we are is good enough if we'd only be it openly. And that's true for voice talents as well. We don't need to be like another voice talent that we've heard or like the sound that we think. Just be ourselves. Be who we are. He nailed the as far as I'm concerned. It sounded really good. And you're right. You can almost smell the pizza now. Was a little bit of a letdown. He wasn't quite smelling the pizza.
Exactly. He was tasting it, but he wasn't smelling it.
Right. He did get so excited that he missed a word in the very last phrase. I noticed that, and it's a small word, and it's a small detail. He missed the on. He pulled on. And that's not a huge deal. In editing, we would probably let that omission specifically slide by because the meaning, you know, the context is still there. But it's important to remember and to be aware because sometimes as a voice talent, we can get rolling through a script and start dropping words that are actually key or important to the scripting.
He had actually a really good pace. It may have been a little rushed, but I what I would like to see with him is maybe take that some of that speed and turn it into enthusiasm and personality. So I think we both agree that he is so close. He's definitely on the right track.
I'm having trouble with this one because I thought his personality really did come through on that.
So it was almost that he was working it too hard.
Yeah.
It was almost that he was pushing it too hard.
So more to the announcer side?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit almost contrived.
Okay.
Yes, he has the enthusiasm. So take away. This is how I should sound, and take his enthusiasm and move it towards this is how I sound talking about this, and again sitting in front of a friend and just telling the friend really enthusiastically about this pizza. God, you know, and just take it in that direction.
All right.
I just want to reiterate something that Chester said about not wanting to sound like other people. Especially in this business, you do not want to sound like anyone else because you won't get hired. Because more chances than not, there'll be a person that's already well ingrained in the business that you're trying to sound like. So why would they hire you
when they can get
that person?
Right.
So you have to make your own spot, your own unique niche in this business.
And you never know what yours is, especially when you're first starting out. I'm going to share this because I wasn't sure what my direction was when I first started in voiceover. In radio, it was a little bit easier because I had direction with promo cards and other DJs, and I just kind of had a feel for radio that came naturally. However, voiceover is different from radio.
The product is the hero,
right.
Period.
That makes very good sense. Yeah. Talking about niche, I found it difficult to know who do I market my voice to. And a lot of times I found that the people who wanted me wanted young or wanted silly. So most of the scripts that I've done now are kind of ditzy. And at first I was like, God, can I play anything except for a ditz? But I play a ditz so well, why not just go for it?
Exactly. You have to accept what your casting is, and that's going to get you work, and that's going to get you paid,
right.
Period.
Right. And so from that, I've gotten requests to play unicorns and bunnies. Yay. And all kinds of things that are fun and are going to fit my voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I love animation.
And
animation.
Believe me, I've wanted to have, you know, a very important American Express card type audio, but
well, I'd like to be that voice on the movie trailers, but I'm never going to be that voice.
In a world.
Yeah.
In a world far away.
It's not going to work.
It won't work for me either.
We'll leave that to Chester.
In a world.
You're hired.
You can probably carry that. So let's kind of recap, because it seems like everybody got similar advice.
They did get similar advice, and I think it's telling. It's advice that I would give to any voiceover artist starting out, that it needs to be personable, especially in the on-hold industry. You're talking to one person. That's really what it is. And we're in a societal cycle right now that authenticity counts, and phony and plastic is out. Authenticity and personal connection are in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what is going to connect with people. That's what's going to carry the message.
You see it all over the place, even in TV commercials. It's the real people, the real person, you know.
Well, you see it now on YouTube videos, mm-hmm. where campaigns are coming out from these larger companies that have just exceptional YouTube videos of regular people or over-the-top people just being silly, having fun. It's much looser now.
Yep. Yeah, right. Thank goodness. It's so much easier being yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much easier.
It's so easy to be yourself. Why are you going to add another layer of stress and nervousness when all you have to do is open your mouth and let you come out?
Exactly. All right. I'd like to thank you both for coming. Well, I'd like to thank Lana for coming in and Chester for calling in, because I think it's important to have had you both on the show, especially on Hold Message Week.
I'd like to leave your listeners or your voiceover talent with something, if I may. There are lots of ways to break into the business. It is so accessible now. When I first started, you had to have an agent. You had to be given a job or the opportunity to audition for a job. Now they have websites like voices.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also a one on your website where you could put your reel, where thousands and thousands of businesses can listen to your demo reel and offer you an audition, mm-hmm. and the opportunity to work, that you negotiate the price and everything without the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to anybody out there, just stick with it, believe in yourself, get a really good demo tape, and enjoy it.
And put your entries in when we have another next voiceover star.
And put your entries in with the Wendy Edwards Show.
That's right. All right, Lana, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank
Chester,
you,
Chester, thank you.
Thank you, Wendy.
All right, let's wrap up the Wendy Edwards Show. Of course, you are invited to go out and vote for your favorite voiceover star this week. And I apologize, as I was unclear at the start of the contest. We're not running this like the popular TV show where you call in and call in and call in for your favorite singer. What we're trying to do is have everybody vote once, based more on the talent than the popularity. It is wonderful to have supportive friends who go out and vote, but it may have an unfair impact on the outcome of the contest. So I ask you to be mindful. There are four people in this contest who very much want to be the next voiceover star, and I would like to make the opportunity to do so as fair as possible. Thank you. We will be back next week with a new challenge. It's Audiobook Week. Guests are coming in from the Charlottesville chapter of Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic. I am expecting a very memorable show. Here to lead us out is Connell Rad on WendyEdwards.com and the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.